Hello and welcome to the Queensland Freemason podcast. My name's Brother Luke Heelan and I'm sitting here today with
Very Worshipful Brother Graham Schultz, the Deputy Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge of Queensland in Brisbane, Australia.
Thank you, Graham. I often find that I introduce you, which is kind of silly when you can introduce yourself.
Well, you are the host.
Well, the host maybe, but you're the distinguished voice with that deep voice of yours. But look, today this is, we're podcast 35 for those that have been following
wow.
We're up to.
Yeah. That many.
That's a lot. Actually probably more than that because we've split a few into various parts, but we're up to episode 35 and, with the last episode 34 was on the quarterly communication and this one we want to do it on Masonic traveling because, Graham and I have got a few different experiences traveling as Masons and the ins and outs of it. And I think it might go for a bit longer than 10 minutes because there's a few stories and I don't really want to turn this into a 20 minute podcast,
no.
But we'll see how it goes. And, I'd start by saying, like, if you're a Mason and you're traveling somewhere, go and visit a lodge if you have the time and inclination to. I would have thought you will find the experience rewarding, at least, and different from what you do, perhaps in your own lodge. So,
yeah,
I think we should start with protocol, Graham. What's the general protocol for traveling as a Mason? Because I've always traveled as a Mason, and I've generally taken my apron, the standard suit that I would wear, and my Master Mason certificate or clearance certificate.
Sure. That's right. You need some bona fides to carry with you, and if you've got your gear, that's good. Just wear, if say you're going to Scotland, I know you've been to Scotland
yep.
and visited lodge, you would have worn the same gear over there that you wear in your lodge here.
I did, which is how they identified me as a Queenslander, which I'll share in a story in a second.
Yeah. So you wear what you would wear in your home lodge when you go travelling. And the best thing to do is if you know when you're going and you know where you're going, give your Grand Lodge a call. And if you're a Queensland Freemason, we can issue you with a letter of introduction to say which lodge you belong to, who you are, and you can take that with you, which will open the doors a lot easier. You'll still be tested, and
yeah.
you should expect to be tested on each of the degrees that you belong to, when you get to another lodge where they don't know you.
And that test, as all Masons will know, should be the same test that we do here. Mm. It's just a matter of verifying. For those people who are not a Mason and wondering what we're talking about is, we've talked before, Graham and I, about the different degrees have different modes of recognition, and they will run you through those modes of recognition in their jurisdiction, and hopefully everybody will be able to understand who each other is and what your role in Masonry
and
is.
And it's a great experience to go visiting. I know you've visited internationally.
It is.
I haven't visited internationally. I've visited a lot in Queensland. In fact, I've been only over the border once down into New South Wales. So all of my Masonic visiting has been in Queensland. And wherever you go, people are very happy to see you.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. And I guess we'll start with the local country visiting. If you're visiting a lodge within your own state, it's generally probably the easiest thing to do because you'll be basically wearing the same outfit as each other for the most part. So,
and you might be a part of a visiting group. Like, for example,
yeah.
my mother lodge in Roma in Western Queensland, we've just been out there for the installation ceremony.
Yeah.
And there was a group of visitors who came from the Maroochydore Lodge with partners as well. But they know we're coming. And
absolutely.
So that's the thing. You want to try and, if you are visiting a country lodge or you're visiting any lodge for that matter, you should at least try and ring the secretary the day before or the day of, or make contact somehow and say, look, I'm from such and such a lodge. I'm in town. I'd like to visit your lodge. I'm just giving you a courtesy call to let you know that I'm going to be there and I'm happy to be tested and I've got my certificate and I've got my ID, you know?
Absolutely. I guess I would always call, if I'm traveling overseas or interstate, the local Grand Lodge. And probably the reason why I find that useful is that they can then tell me which meeting I perhaps should think about attending. Because I think if you randomly turn up to a meeting, you may find that the work that they're doing that night's not really appropriate for visiting. They might be running a management meeting and not much else, and you won't find that particularly interesting because you can't really participate in a local lodge's management meeting in a meaningful way. So my personal feeling is call the Grand Lodge or the District Grand Lodge and find out what lodges they would recommend you go along and visit, because also you may find that if you've just visited a website for that lodge, they may in fact as a whole lodge be visiting another lodge or running a combined night and all sorts of stuff like that. I'll start off with where I visited. I visited in two different places places in Scotland, and it was kind of interesting. And the first place I visited was the Celtic Lodge 290 in Edinburgh, and I turned up to their meeting, and their test was a little different, Graham, in that they didn't specifically test me, but they didn't have a square and compass symbol on the door. They had a particular Masonic title of the person who should be standing at the door. And if you didn't push that button, you wouldn't be able to get in, because I won't mention what that is. If you're a Mason, you'll know what the person who stands out the outside of the door is called. And that's what they had written, and you buzz there, and they let you in, and they of course, knew instantly then I was a Mason. So,
wow, that's interesting.
That's a little different. Like, if you didn't know who that person's title was, you wouldn't know that that was the Mason building, because it didn't say the name of the lodge and the location. It was in an apartment. Well, not in an apartment. It was in a building where there was a lot of other things going on in that building, apartments. Shops and things like that, but they, extremely old building, they had a thing that you buzzed in and they let you in, and they go, well, you must be a Mason because you knew the right thing to press. So
how did you find the lodge set up, and was it all the same?
Their lodge was amazing. Their lodge was built pre-1700, so. And it actually, for those Masons, you'll find this interesting, they had a winding staircase. So they had a staircase that led from their supper room or their festive boardroom up to their lodge room. An old-fashioned, of course old-fashioned, it was 300 and something years old.
Wow.
Old-fashioned winding staircase, and I'd never seen one of those before. Their room's also laid out somewhat differently to ours here. Our room is, if you go to the website, you'll see they're laid out in a particular way. We have the seats basically around the edges of the building. They had seats almost more like a church, I guess, where they're all facing the front of the room. So
interesting.
The way they conducted themselves, I guess because the building was so old, was a little bit different. But I found that fascinating. And I guess being a Masonic nerd, I was kind of fascinated too by the way that they greeted me. And the funny thing is, we're talking, they knew I was a Queenslander for one distinct reason, is our particular outfit here in Queensland involves wearing a white summer jacket or an Eton jacket. Mm. And they knew straight away, even before I opened my mouth with my broad Australian accent, where I was from. And I was curious, how did they know where I was from? And they pointed out a Queenslander had visited them about 3 months before I did, and same thing. So
yeah.
For them, I didn't know where to meet in Edinburgh, so I called the local Grand Lodge, and they said, go along to these people. They're somewhere on the Royal Mile there, and they were very vague. I had to find it myself.
Yeah.
And the meeting was fantastic. I just felt very welcome there and got to see what they did and how they conducted themselves, which was very good because it was the first time I'd ever been to a Scottish ritual in a Scottish lodge, and it just happened to be their installation. So one of the other things I recommended they do if the lodge is open to is visit a practice meeting. I visited a practice meeting in the local Rosalind chapter there in the famous Rosalind Chapel, and it was quite amazing. I went to the practice meeting because I was staying in the village, and I saw the lodge there, knocked on the door because I could see people in, and they invited me in. And that was really good too, because in a formal meeting, you can't inquire so much about what's going on and why they're doing it. In the informal practice meeting, I had opportunities to ask them lots of questions about what it is they do, how they do things differently. And for example, I learnt that all the Scottish lodges do 4 degrees and not 3. They do the Mark degree. They're happy to tell me that because I'm also a Mark Mason. So
that's interesting. And was that at the actual chapel, at Rosslyn Chapel?
In the same village, probably maybe a kilometre away from it.
Wow.
So and I only found that by accident. The B&B I was staying at was about 3 doors down, and I was going to the local watering hole, and I happened to see the square and compass and the G sign, and I was like, I think I might have to inquire. And the lights were on, so I knocked on the door.
So you knocked on the door?
And they let me in.
And there was someone at home.
And should knock the appropriate way too.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So how long did you spend there in the village?
3 days.
Yeah.
And I spent way longer than I normally would at the practice meeting, and they were very hospitable, to say the least. So it was a nice time to go and see those people. And practice meetings is not something I would have normally happened to wanted to visit, but by chance they happened to be there.
You're talking about winding staircases. The centre in Neal Street in Toowoomba has a winding staircase.
Oh, really? So it's not unique?
Up to the organ loft, from the actual body of the lodge up to the organ lodge. And they are actually doing Toowoomba Open House this year.
Mm.
So listeners in Toowoomba might like to get along to that on Sunday the 6th of October, when the Neal Street Centre, which was built in 1886, I might add, and is situated right next to the Empire Theatre in Toowoomba. Most people know the Empire Theatre and know that it's an iconic building, but it was built in 1913, and the lodge next door was built in 1886. Fabulous building, beautiful building.
And I guess the other place I visited too, Graham, is, we've mentioned it before in other lodges, so I won't go into it in other podcasts, won't go into about it too much, is the local lodge in Lismore. I've got a place down near there, and I went and visited their installation last year, and I'm going to do the same this year, because I found the Country Lodge, again, their experience a little bit their way they conduct their meetings is a bit different to the way we do it here. And certainly an interstate country lodge was very good. And I was just enthralled by how many people there were there. At their installation, they would have had close to, I think, 80 to 100 people. Mm. And some of them had driven way further than I had. I'd driven 4 hours or so to get there. There were people that had driven, like, more than a day to get there. So,
yeah. I think visiting is one of the great things that you can do as a Freemason and other lodges and other jurisdictions and other nations is a wonderful thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. I've had members of my own lodge visit lodges where they don't even know the language, but they still go to the meeting and they find that the meeting is conducted in a way that they can actually pretty much understand what's going on. They just might not understand the specifics of going on. That might be a little trickier, but for the most part, I'd recommend trying it. As long as it's a regular lodge, I don't think people have a problem with you visiting.
No.
And again, you can check with your own Grand Lodge about the do's and don'ts about visiting overseas, because there are some that you'd have to consider. So what's the general protocol, Graham, for people wanting to visit us here in
Queensland?
Yeah,
give us a call. In Queensland, you can have a look at our Masonic directory. We print every year and is online on our website as well. If you're in a certain town and you want to find out when lodge is on, you can do that, or you can contact us and we'll let you know. We have guys coming in the front door every day from all around the world who want to know, you know, where lodges are meeting and that sort of stuff. So we're used to doing that. And if you're traveling yourself, just give us a call or send me an email or send us an email at the secretariat and we'll arrange a letter of introduction for you. We only need a week or so to do that and get it out to you. And that way you can have some information when you actually go somewhere that will get you in the door.
I would also give you one other tip for when you're traveling is if you call the Grand Lodge, they will likely give you a good indication of what's happening in that particular week. Because, for example, we're coming up to the fifth week of the month and there's almost no meetings going on. I don't think there are any meetings.
Not many.
Are there any at all? I don't think there are.
There's the odd one here and there.
Might be an installation here or there that'll do it.
Some lodges meet on the last Friday or the last Thursday, so if that works out sometimes, but very rarely is there stuff on in the fifth week.
No, well, that's what I got caught out in Edinburgh, and if it wasn't for an installation being on, I wouldn't have been able to attend a meeting, and that was because it was at the end of the month, and they specified it. For those that don't know, Mason meetings usually specify not a date on the meeting, but like the first Monday, the second Tuesday.
Sure.
I've got my practice tonight, the fourth Wednesday. And so if you're traveling in the latter part of the month, you need to be particularly mindful that you may not have a lodge meeting to visit. And even if that's the case, see if there's a practice on, or perhaps go and visit the Grand Lodge in your jurisdiction that you happen to be in at the time and see what you think. Most Grand Lodges, I believe, Graham, should run tours in some shape or form.
Pretty much, yeah.
But again, ours are conducted very regularly, the 2 o'clock every day if they come along to do that. But in other jurisdictions, you may find it a bit, the calendar's not quite like that. So give them a call. And nearly all Grand Lodges should have a website now.
Most of us have got a website now.
Oh, I think so. So I think we'll just about wrap up our travelling. So travelling and visiting I've found quite enjoyable. I don't do it on every trip that I go away, but I certainly, if I can find the time to do it, and I've got friends in other states that are Masons, and I'd like to go and visit with them too, because it's quite also an experience if you go with somebody that you know. It makes it that little bit easier. So
yeah, exactly. That's
but
true.
I've certainly enjoyed all my visits, Graham, and I know by
Me
the
too.
Sounds of it, you too. And I'd encourage people to go and see other lodges, particularly in far away lands, to see what they can find. So until then, I think everybody should be happy to meet and sorry to part.
Sorry to part.
We got it right this time, Graham. Until next time, thanks.